听力课堂，听 class.com。
Unit 5, Going to School, 2, Part 1, Getting Ready. A. The following words and phrases will appear in this unit. Listen carefully and study the definitions.
1. Receptive. 2. Intrigue. 3. Elementary. 4. Course. 5. Freshman. 6. Objective. 7. Revision. 8. Literature. 9. Regulate. 10. Small hours.
B. You are going to hear several dialogues describing problems in reading English. Listen carefully and complete the following chart with all the problems and advice mentioned.
When I read in English, I always want to understand every single word, and so I spend a lot of time looking words up in my dictionary. This makes reading difficult for me, because by the time I've looked up the word in my dictionary, I've forgotten what the rest of the sentence was about. That's my trouble, really. I rely too much on my dictionary.
Well, why don't you try to read a text without using your dictionary? The first time you read it, you'll probably be able to understand most of it and guess what some of the words mean.
I have to read a lot of books and articles in English for my work. I'm a consultant in business management. What I find most difficult is finding the main point in an article or paragraph. I always try to take notes when I'm reading, and so sometimes I find that I'm almost copying out the whole article because I can't decide what the really important points are.
It might help if you read through the book or article very quickly first, just to get an idea of what it's about. I think it's difficult to read something for the first time and take notes as well.
I like reading novels and short stories in my own language and in English, but there's one thing I find very difficult in English. I'm never quite sure if the writer is being serious or not. Several times I've read something I thought was serious, and later I found out it was supposed to be funny.
I have exactly the same problem. I suppose the only thing to do is to read as much as possible. Then one day, perhaps, we'll understand the British sense of humor.
I have to read a lot in English in my studies, and this is causing me problems. I read too slowly in English. Do you think I can train myself to read quickly and at the same time understand what I'm reading?
Well, there are special courses in speed reading, I think. But you could probably help yourself if you set yourself a time limit and try to read as much as you can within the time. I've done that and it's helped me a lot.
Part 2. How to Write Well. A. You are going to hear a monologue on how to write well. While listening for the first time, add more key words in the left-hand column. After the second listening, answer the questions.
This is an exercise to help you with your writing, really. Try to imagine first that you are a successful writer, and you're sitting down to write a story. Be sure that you don't consult your left brain for the setting, the characters, or the storyline. Your right brain has a story to tell, and if you'll sit quietly and be receptive, the story will come to you. Some writers begin with characters, others with plot, others with a visual picture. Suppose you would like to begin by choosing a setting. Sit quietly while your mind wanders over the possibilities. Be receptive to the images that emerge. When you have your first location, write about the place you've chosen. What do you see, hear, taste, feel, smell? Sit quietly in the place that your right brain has chosen and wait for a character to approach you. It may be someone you didn't expect. What is the person like? What does that person feel? What is the specific dialogue that will begin your story? Sit on the edge of the scene. Watch and listen and feel and record what happens before your eyes. Sometimes you may want to become one of the characters and feel what happens from a particular point of view. At another time, you may want to become one of the other characters and experience everything that's happening from that person's perspective. However you would like to do this is the right and proper way for you to proceed. Find your own way into the story in whatever way your right brain suggests to you now. Begin to write your story. In it, you can meet some interesting people. If the people and the story and the setting intrigue you enough, you can complete your script. Let the story unfold as you write.
B. Listen to the monologue again. Complete the following procedure on how to write a good story with the help of the above notes. Part 3. Visiting Britain. A. You are going to hear an interview in which someone gives advice to foreign students who want to study in Britain. While listening for the first time, add more key words in the left-hand column. After the second listening, answer the questions.
Well, I think the first important thing is to choose the course that you're going to join very carefully. There are a variety of courses, from advanced right down to elementary, and perhaps one of the best ways of finding out about them is first of all to go to your local British Council office. They keep a list, a register of the various colleges, schools, universities in Britain that offer courses to overseas students.
It must be very difficult trying to choose the right course for yourself when there are so many courses offered. Would they be able to advise on the right course?
To a certain extent, yes. But basically, I think the foreign student has to work out for himself by writing to various addresses that he might get from the British Council. He's got to write to various schools. These may be private language schools or further education colleges or universities that offer courses in English for foreign students. I think the important thing is to write all these and get as much information as possible and then make a selection. Or an alternative is, of course, to find other people in one's own country who've been to Britain and quite simply to collect information from them.
Once the student has been accepted for a course in Britain, what are the other things that he should plan carefully for before he arrives? For example, what about accommodation?
Well, yes. Accommodation is very important. And I think as far as accommodation is concerned, it's a good idea to stay, if possible, in an English family. However much you learn at classes in Britain, you still need the experience of practicing English in a real-life situation. And staying with an English family is far and away the best way of acquiring that kind of practice. But you should be just as careful in choosing your family as you are in choosing your school. Otherwise, you might find yourself with a family who hardly speak to you at all, or you might find yourself with a family that you don't get on with. And I think, as with choosing a school, it's important to get a personal recommendation. Try and find a family that one of your friends has already stayed with, or that you've heard about, or that somebody has met.
And how about other things? Everybody talks about the British weather being very bad. What kind of advice would you give on clothing?
Ah, yes, that's very important. I think it's a good idea to come prepared for the English weather. Even in summer, the weather can change. And so I think it's a good idea to bring a raincoat in case it rains, and to bring one or two pullovers in case the weather suddenly turns cold.
What about money? Is it better to bring traveler's checks or to bring cash?
Oh, I think traveler's checks every time, just in case one's money gets stolen.
Now try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the interview. Complete the following sentences with the help of the above notes.
Well, I think the first important thing is to choose the course that you're going to join very carefully. There are a variety of courses, from advanced right down to elementary, and perhaps one of the best ways of finding out about them is first of all to go to your local British Council office. They keep a register of the various colleges, schools, universities in Britain that offer courses to overseas students.
It must be very difficult trying to choose the right course for yourself when there are so many courses offered. Would they be able to advise on the right course?
To a certain extent, yes. Basically, I think the foreign student has to work out for himself by writing to various addresses that he might get from the British Council. He's got to write to various schools. These may be private language schools or further education colleges or universities that offer courses in English for foreign students. I think the important thing is to write to all these and get as much information as possible and then make a selection. Or an alternative is, of course, to find other people in one's own country who've been to Britain and quite simply to collect information from them.
Once the student has been accepted for a course in Britain, what are the other things that he should plan carefully for before he arrives? For example, what about accommodation?
Well, yes, accommodation is very important. I think as far as accommodation is concerned, it's a good idea to stay, if possible, in an English family. However much you learn at classes in Britain, you still need the experience of practicing English in a real-life situation. And staying with an English family is far and away the best way of acquiring that kind of practice. But you should be just as careful in choosing your family as you are in choosing your school. Otherwise, you might find yourself with a family who hardly speak to you at all, or you might find yourself with a family that you don't get on with. And I think, as with choosing a school, it's important to get a personal recommendation. Try and find a family that one of your friends has already stayed with, or that you've heard about, or that somebody has met.
And how about other things? Everybody talks about the British weather being very bad. What kind of advice would you give on clothing?
Ah, yes, that's very important. I think it's a good idea to come prepared for the English weather. Even in summer, the weather can change. And so I think it's a good idea to bring a raincoat in case it rains and to bring one or two pullovers in case the weather suddenly turns cold.
What about money? Is it better to bring traveller's cheques or to bring cash?
Oh, I think traveller's cheques every time, just in case one's money gets stolen.
Part 4. More about the topic, personal aims and values. The following short passage is about a freshman report given by the American Council on Personal Aims and Values. Supply the missing words while listening.
To many researchers, the most interesting part of the American Council's freshman report is the one that shows what these students said about their aims and values in life. Each student was asked to indicate the importance to him, personally, of each of the following: becoming skilled in one of the performing arts, acting, dancing, etc., becoming an authority in my field, influencing the political structure, changing other people's social values, raising a family, having an active social life, going to parties, etc., having friends with different backgrounds from mine, having responsibility for work of others, becoming rich, helping others who are in difficulty, making a contribution to science, writing original works, poems, stories, etc., never owing anything to anyone, creating artistic works, painting, music, etc., keeping up to date with political affairs, being successful in a business of my own, helping in programs to clean up the environment, developing a good philosophy on life, helping with a community action program, getting married within the next 5 years. 7 of the above were rated very important by more than half of the young men and women. Each of the 7 appears below with the percentage of freshmen who considered it important. Keeping up with political affairs, 52%. Having an active social life, 59%. Being an authority in my field, 62%. Having friends different from me, 64%. Raising a family, 66%. Helping others in difficulty, 70%. Developing a philosophy of life, 75%. It is interesting to note which objectives were not rated very important by large numbers of these first-year college students. There was no strong desire to become rich or to be successful in business or to tell others what to do. Helping to clean up the environment came close to being included in the list. It was rated very important by 45% of the students. Above all, however, the students indicated a concern for helping others and for deciding how life should be lived.
Part 5. Memory Test. Study Habits. You are going to hear 2 teachers in a staff room discussing how they used to study when they were at the university. Draw 2 flow diagrams to show their study habits.
Well, it's funny, because the other day a girl came up to me, and she wanted advice about revising. The odd thing was I couldn't think of anything to say to her.
Do you find that you get a lot of students asking you for advice about revision technique?
Well, yes, I mean, they do, but when they've got quite big exams coming up,
yeah.
You know, I really sort of find it quite a problem, because, I don't have to revise myself very often these days, Well, but when I was at university, it just seems to be a matter of, well, what suits one person doesn't suit another.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because, well, the girl I shared a house with at university, now, she worked, she used to get up amazingly late, and, she didn't really start work until in the evening, I think, and, then she liked to have rock music on really loud. She used to, play records really loud.
Yeah.
Right through until sort of very late at night, you know, into the small hours.
Oh,
and I was sort of, I was just the opposite.
Yeah.
And, the only way I could ever get any work done was to make myself wake up incredibly early and, then work a bit and then have some breakfast and then, I'd sort of potter about a bit and then I'd go and do my shopping thing.
Yeah.
I'd be sort of getting on towards midday.
Mm.
But then in the afternoon, I'd have a rest and I woke up and thinking about eating. I suppose I call that, supper.
Yeah.
But, it was her lunch or even, brunch that she was having at that time.
Yeah. I suppose I'm a bit like you, really.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get up fairly early, say around 7.
Mm.
Might have a cup of coffee and, before I started, get myself totally organised.
Yeah.
So that I knew exactly what I was doing. Get it all organised. And then work solidly. I'll maybe do 6 hours revision without stopping. And that was the only way I could do it.
Yeah. Yes. And would you say to yourself, I'm going to do 6 hours today and I'm not going to go... I'm not going to have any fun until I've done 6 hours.
Yeah, it was very much like that. An unpleasant thing that you had to regulate.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I just hate revising anyway. I mean, I hate that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And in fact, I did very little solid, sort of sensible work.
Yeah.
And what I do was, because I was doing literature, I used to reread the novels, on the course, and I'd have classical music on the radio. Because, I used to find that I got very bored if there was just sort of nothing, nothing at all in the background.
Yeah. I think of the people who do revise, there are 2 sorts.
Mm.
There are those who work almost by topic. They select a topic and plow through it regardless. And then there are those who set themselves a time limit of an amount to be done, rather than working through a specific topic, regardless of the limit of time. But as I say,